dear, oh dear. Salty tears dripping into his chips. I don't know why I suddenly felt the desire to play that.
I don't know why either.
Jilted John. From way back when. Apparently he's a landscape gardener these days. And Michael Caine from Madness to Starts the Hour. Now, do you Google your symptoms when you're not feeling too clever?
I try not to. Yeah. I do try not to. Yeah. I did do it at the weekend. Not a good move.
Well, don't do it. Is the message.
I know, but it's a bit too tempting, isn't it?
From health experts who've named it cyberchondria. During the COVID pandemic, increasing numbers of GP consultations have been conducted online or over the phone. With the reduction in face-to-face appointments and the anxiety that people might feel about unnecessary trips and lockdown, it's understandable that in the past year, more people have been Googling their symptoms than ever before. For example, in the last fortnight, searches for blood clot symptoms and variations of how do you know you have a blood clot have risen exponentially in the wake of questions about the AstraZeneca vaccine, which have now been answered with trial data confirming its safety. General interest in vaccine side effects is growing as the rollout progresses, alongside searches for sore arm after vaccine and why does my arm hurt after the vaccine? It's not what Frank Zappa said once, is why does it hurt when I... Yeah. incidentally, around 10 times as many people search for can I drink alcohol after the vaccine and can you exercise after the vaccine. This spikes noticeably on Friday and Saturday evenings as recipients suddenly panic about the effects of the jab on their weekend entertainment. A sizeable minority is double-checking can you drink before the vaccine.
Yes.
Just put it in the same glass.
Well, that way everyone would be vaccinated, yeah.
Vaccine and Coke, please. A year on from the first lockdown, there remains some confusion as to what the symptoms of coronavirus actually are. There's still a steady stream of searches for is sore throat a COVID symptom, with runny noses, headaches and diarrhoea also attracting interest. The queries are understandable and practical, particularly given the advice for anybody displaying signs of COVID to self-isolate. There is less value in some of the vague musings which rank among the most popular Google diagnoses as why does my stomach, back, knee, armpit, body hurt? Why am I always tired and why do I feel sick?
It can make you cry, apparently.
What, symptoms on the internet?
Apparently symptoms for the AstraZeneca vaccine can make you cry uncontrollably. Yeah. And the cleaner was complaining about his arm, wasn't he? Because he had it and he said, oh, my arm's sore. But he had the Pfizer one.
He was on fire this morning.
Was he?
Absolutely. He's going on holiday this evening and he said, guess what? I said, well, he said, I'm on holiday for a week and a half. And then he said, and do you know they've legalised cannabis in Morocco? He seems to be very happy about that for some reason. Hi, so Andrew said he hasn't heard Jilted John since school, and we're the same age. Yeah, it was all the rage. So I had his album, actually.
Did you?
Jilted John's album. Yeah. Anyway, don't Google if you're not feeling well.
No, best to be avoided.
I have a pain in my side. You'll be dead in 5 minutes. Make your will now. Yeah, it's not fair. Still getting messages about that.
About what?
Jilted John.
Jilted John. Well, there you go. Popular song, obviously, in its time, in its heyday.
Well, everything once in a blue moon. I mean, if you started playing it 3 times a week, then well, once every few years is all right, isn't it?
Why not? Was it your earworm this morning, then?
No, it wasn't. It just suddenly came into my head just before the 8 o'clock news. I thought I'd give that a spin after Michael Caine by Madness. All right, your turn.
Today's quiz, I've made it very easy. Today is National Puppy Day in the UK, celebrating
love.
The unconditional love. Well, I wasn't going to do that, although it is one of my favourites, but we've had it quite recently. Unconditional love and affection puppies bring to our lives. A legendary singer, Frank Sinatra, had a dog, and it was the same name, or it had the same name as one of the Beatles. What was it called?
Ringo.
Correct.
Well, you call him Dog John, George or Paul. It's not really...
Well, might have been. You never know.
My neighbours had a cat called Dave once.
Dave, that's a good name. On this day in 1974, Marvin Gaye and Diana Ross entered the UK singles chart with which song, which was originally recorded by the Stylistics?
71, did you say?
74.
You Are Everything and Everything Is You.
Well done. Oh, you're going to get this. This is going to be a hat-trick. And finally, this American singer was born on this day in 1953. She had a hit in 1984 when she collaborated with Ry Cooder, Robert Palmer, Ray Charles. Well, she has collaborated, rather, with all those singers. If I give you the name of the track, you're going to get it straight away. Quincy Jones, Mary J. Blige, among others. Do you know who I'm talking about? And in 1984, she had a UK hit. I Feel For You.
Chaka Khan.
Yes.
Chaka Khan. Well, Rufus.
What about him?
No, they were a group, dear. Rufus and Chaka Khan.
1970s, yes. Yes, that was before. I'm talking 1984.
Chaka Khan. Riviera Radio. Business.
Rock Me Amadeus.
Rock Me Amadeus, Amadeusum. All right, that's enough of that, thank you.
What was your guilty musical pleasure when you were at primary school? What song did you like? You know, what was top of the pops when you were a nipper?
Oh, I don't know, to be honest with you.
Dolly Parton.
There's a good tradition. Do you know that?
A good tradition of love and hate.
Love and hate.
Who
yeah.
was that? That was
Tanita Tikaram.
Tanita Tikaram. Yeah, I used to like Tanita Tikaram actually.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I'll probably go with that.
All right.
A good answer, wasn't it? Weren't expecting that sunshine,
I wasn't.
You?
No, I was expecting to say something like, I don't know, well, Dolly Parton, for
yes.
example. A coat of many colours.
Oh, I do like that.
Right, markets. We haven't got much time this morning, but not a bad day on Wall Street yesterday.
Yeah, equity markets rose across the board yesterday as gains in tech stocks and autos outweighed a weaker travel and leisure sector amid concerns over vaccine supplies and extended lockdown. Sentiment, of course, very fragile as Germany's lockdown has been extended with a stark one, particularly over the Easter holidays. EU threatening to withhold vaccine shipments, of course, although it appears there's some compromise with the UK has emerged on that front. UK government advisor said yesterday foreign holidays are unlikely this summer. It wasn't good news, of course, for the travel companies, for the airlines. So shares in AIG, TUI and Ryanair slumping. Stock 600 was down 0.2%, reversing an earlier drop of 0.6%. Over on Wall Street, the S&P 500 rose 0.7%, Nasdaq even better than that. Treasury yield slipped back from 14-month highs, 10-year Treasury yield this morning around 1.7%. Market will be watching the joint appearance of Fed Chair Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen as they give testimony to the US House Financial Services Committee. Opening calls on the European bourses. FTSE down 29 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 42 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 19 points.
Use the force, Jerome. I know you're
I
not going
to. I can't believe we're going to have this for another 4 years.
Now, reports on Bloomberg this morning. Have you been watching Bloomberg at all today?
A little bit, yes.
It says the FTSE 100 looks discounted and he's off.
It looks cheap, it has to be said, the FTSE 100 compared to its rivals. Big underperformer, of course, in the last couple of years. As a result of Brexit, perhaps a little bit, but also as a result of the makeup of the FTSE 100. Not so much technology, but you've got the likes of the energy stocks, of course, have underperformed in recent years. The banking stocks have underperformed. But we are seeing a fight back. Pharmaceuticals have been doing well. Banking stocks have made a good start to the year. So perhaps some hopes that the FTSE 100 can recover some of that lost ground and the UK economy can start to outperform.
And Nestlé is betting on coffee, would you believe? God, what an eye-opener that is.
Nestlé betting on coffee in the post-pandemic world, rolling out touchless machines for offices, which will be controlled apparently via smartphones, and new flavours to encourage consumers making coffee at home. Coffee has been a key driver of sales growth and accounts for a large part of its $24 billion beverage business. Nestlé invested $7 billion on a partnership with Starbucks back in 2018. Now makes the coffee chain's products for at-home use worldwide. Pandemic has encouraged consumers to use Starbucks and Nespresso capsules at home rather than taking a trip to their local coffee house. In terms of growth, they think the in-home consumption will continue to grow. China, they said, is a big market for them. Average consumption there, they say, is just 7 cups of coffee per person per year, so hoping that will increase. Said India, Africa, priority markets for expansion. Cold and flavoured coffee will be the focus during the course of this year as well. So they're going to introduce an iced tropical coconut coffee. I don't know if that
dear.
Takes your fancy. It doesn't sound particularly appetising, as we said.
Do you like a nice cup of Nescafe, you know?
Don't drink coffee.
Spoon Never of Nescafe, dollop of milk.
Never drunk a cup of coffee in my life.
In a red mug with Gareth Hunt doing the advert.
Not for me, thank you. Yeah. I don't mind the biscuits that go with it,
though. The Mellow Birds will make you smile. Okay. Not like some of that coffee that you have to tip in the potted plant, you know.
Yes.
No, but you don't like coffee?
Never drunk a cup of coffee in my life.
Try it. It might change your life.
Do you think that's what I need in my life?
Well, it's...
How many cups of coffee are you on by this stage in the morning?
Well, I've cut down a bit, actually, but I'm sort of having 3 espressos in the morning these days.
Dear me.
And it's actually quite good for you. If you read all the medical reports, it's actually in moderation. It is pretty good for you. So,
what constitutes moderation?
Well, I think three espressos is enough, isn't it?
I would imagine so.
I used to have five, but those were different days.
Okay.
Foreign exchanges.
Pound against dollar, 1.38 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.19. Going to get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
Go and have a cup of tea.
I will. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow. Heng Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
More than 4,500 COVID patients are hospitalised in intensive care in France, with Public Health France reporting 15,792 new cases of COVID on Monday. 4,548 patients are being treated in intensive care, including 471 new patients admitted in the last 24 hours. The number has been rising steadily since the lowest recorded on January the 7th, with 2,573 patients. In total, hospitals counted 26,488 patients with COVID, including 1,902 admitted in the last 24 hours. 344 people have died from COVID in hospitals in France in the last 24 hours, bringing the total number of deaths to 92,648 since the start of the pandemic. In the Île-de-France region, the incident rate is rising, standing at 537. That's compared to just over 400 a week ago. This is more than twice the alert threshold of 250 set out by the French government. Speaking on Monday, France's health minister announced that the army and firefighters will be deployed in at least 35 large vaccination centres across the country in order to be able to use all the doses that will be delivered to France from April. Meanwhile, 20 additional deaths from COVID were reported in the Alpes-Maritimes by the Regional Health Agency on Monday. Since the start of the pandemic, the coronavirus has killed 1,696 people in the department. That's 1,253 in hospitals and 443 in nursing homes. The number of patients being hospitalised increased on Monday, with 683 patients being admitted to hospital. 117 have been admitted to intensive care units, with the occupancy rate in intensive care still close to saturation at 80.5%. According to COVID Tracker, the incident rate stands at 407 and continues to decline. And in Monaco, there were 9 new cases of COVID identified on Monday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 2,182. 31 people are being treated in hospital and 56 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Following the changes to a complex and misleading attestation for the 16 departments of France under lockdown, which led to few police checks being carried out at the weekend, France's Interior Minister announced on Monday that he had given instructions to the police to check travel certificates and to enforce the new health instructions. The minister called for particular firmness on respecting the curfew, private gatherings and the closing of establishments receiving members of the public. Checks will be stepped up in train stations and airports. The minister added that police must systematically fine those who do not have a legitimate reason to travel. Failure to comply with the new measures put in place by the government will result in a fine of €135, and in the event of non-payment, it may be increased to €375. After 3 offences within 30 days, the fine could amount to €3,750 and a sentence of 6 months' imprisonment. France's Prime Minister has launched a new communication campaign in the fight against COVID using the slogan Dedans avec les miens, dehors en citoyenne. The campaign hopes to clarify new recommendations given by the French government, literally translated as inside with mine, outside as a citizen. The campaign aims to remind the French of the basic rules to fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. Inside with mine means that I do not invite people into my home, I don't go to other people's homes, I regularly air my home, and I no longer go out after 7 p.m. except for work or an emergency with a certificate. Outside as a citizen, I can go out until 7 p.m. for an authorised reason, to work, to go for a walk, to go shopping, to accompany my children to school, or to take my pet out, or go to the doctor. Beyond 10 kilometres, I must have a certificate justifying the reason for my trip. I wear a mask and I respect self-distancing. I can meet my friends outside, but restricted to a maximum of six and respecting barrier gestures, although I avoid eating and drinking if I am not alone or if I am not with people in my household. I do not leave the region or my department except for compelling or professional reasons justified by a certificate. And Russian President Vladimir Putin has called comments made by a European Union official as strange. The official had announced that the EU had absolutely no need for Russia's Sputnik V vaccine. Putin said, "We're not imposing anything on anyone." And the remarks by EU's internal market commissioner, Thierry Breton, raises a question of whose interests are these people defending and representing? Are they the interests of some pharmaceutical companies or those of the citizens of European countries? The Russian Direct Investment Fund, which has backed the development of Sputnik V, accused Breton of being clearly biased against the vaccine because it was Russian. Putin himself said he would be getting the jab today. And in other news, a 9-year-old has been arrested at the wheel of a car near Rouen. He was at the time driving his father, who was under the influence of alcohol. The father had 1.4 grams of alcohol in his blood, and another 21-year-old was in the back of the vehicle. The police spotted the vehicle, which was zigzagging across the road. The father has been placed in police custody, and police have opened an investigation. The French subsidiary of Swedish home furnishing giant IKEA and several of its former executives have gone on trial in France on charges that they operated an elaborate system of illegal spying on customers, staff, members and job applicants. Four former IKEA France executives, former store managers, four police officers and the head of a French private investigation firm were among the 15 people in a courtroom in Versailles on Monday. And finally, the European Commission has offered financial support of nearly 60 million euros from the European Union Solidarity Fund to help the population hit by Storm Alex. 59.3 million euros will be sent to France following the serious damage caused by Storm Alex in the Alpes-Maritime.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Do you have to copy that at Testacio out 100 times?
I don't know, it's the avoid.
I will not go out and hang around on the beach.
Avoid eating and drinking if I'm not alone.
I will not drink wine in public.
So you can drink wine in public if you're with the people from your household.
But not with you.
But Charlotte doesn't drink, unfortunately.
Well, it's always the first chance, you know. But, yeah,
it's can't all see what's on our wrong website.
With a socially distanced glass of wine, again. But. Rugby union Sean Maitland has been left out of Scotland's squad for the final Six Nations match against France on Friday. Scotland were limited to selecting five English-based players because of an agreement with the English Premiership. Stuart Hogg and Sam Skinner, along with Alex Craig and Chris Harris, were chosen ahead of the Saracens' wing. Finn Russell and Adam Hastings both returned, but locked Johnny Gray is out through injury. France can win the championship depending on how many tries and points they score, as well as bonus points. Take a check on the day's football news. Here's the latest from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Bowell at the BBC Sports Centre. Well, fresh from reaching the FA Cup semi-finals, the Leicester City manager Brendan Rodgers says being consistently competitive against the Premier League's so-called top six is a better measure of his side's progress.
When we came in, that was our ambition, to try and be really competitive against the top teams. And over the couple of years, we've been able to do that. You know, we've established a really good culture in the team. You know, our success will be defined differently. You know, when you're at the big clubs with the big budgets, then of course it's about winning trophies.
Jesse Lingard has warned his West Ham United teammates that they can't afford to throw away leads if they want to qualify for European action. West Ham are still fifth in the Premier League table, but on Sunday were 3-0 up at home to Arsenal before the visitors came back to earn a 3-3 draw.
You know, it's hard to take, and we've got to have the confidence to carry on and go and get, you know, 4 and 5. You know, I felt like we dropped off a bit. You know, we're lapsing a little bit of concentration, and if we want to be, you know, battling for the top four, you know, we need to be on it, you know, week in, week out.
A point behind West Ham are Tottenham Hotspur in sixth spot. While Spurs were 2-0 winners at Aston Villa at the weekend, coming back after back-to-back losses to Arsenal in the North London derby and against Dinamo Zagreb as they exited the Europa League. The football journalist Alison Bender says that Jose Mourinho has work to do if his Spurs side are to finish in the top four.
It's such an important time, and it is an important time for this rallying cry, because 29 games played, and they're just 3 points off fourth-place Chelsea. So it is time. They can still get a Champions League place. And, of course, as you say, they've got that really important League Cup game, albeit against Manchester City. But he's getting a feeling that if he can get the sort of the squad together, perhaps they can do something special.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Some fine speculative journalism from Alison Bender there. Formula One, the former Formula One driver Johnny Dumfries has died at the age of 62. The Scotsman raced under a pseudonym to hide his aristocratic background after being born John Crichton Stewart, 7th Marquess of Bute. Dumfries spent a year in Formula One in 1986 with Lotus, where he was teammate to Ayrton Senna. His best result came in Hungary, where he finished 5th. He later moved into endurance racing and won the Le Mans 24 Hours for Jaguar in 1988. Cricket: West Indies are in a strong position heading into day 3 of the first test against Sri Lanka in Antigua. At stumps on day 2, the home side had reached 268 for 8 in reply to Sri Lanka's first innings total of 169. West Indies lead by 99 runs. And in golf, Brooks Koepka could miss next month's Masters after undergoing surgery on his right knee. The world number 12 has not competed since finishing joint second at the WGC Workday Championship last month. He injured his knee last month while on holiday with his family in Florida and told media he'd suffered a dislocation of his kneecap and ligament damage. The Masters at Augusta starts on April the 8th.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Anne Maritime in Navarre, the general situation is an anticyclone, 1,028 millibars over northern France, moving south. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northeasterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 2 to 4. Southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Mainly fine again. Lights to moderate easterly winds. Temperatures 15 or 16 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 5 to 8 degrees with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday mainly fine. Highs of 14 to 16 degrees. Finally.
Have you seen this?
No.
Are Strangers Having Babies a reality show too far? What? Yes. A new television programme encourages co-parents to have a child and raise it together without being in a relationship. Welcome to Strangers Making Babies. It's a new Channel 4 series which matches up strangers wanting to have a baby. Bonkers as it may sound, it's called co-parenting, which every divorced or separated parent will be familiar with. Accidental co-parenting, where a child is raised by two parents living in separate homes. But this is deliberate co-parenting, has the same end result, but starts in a very different place, with two people who are not romantically linked and have no desire to be so, committing to starting a family together. The controversial series, which would have been unthinkable as a decade ago, is reflecting, apparently, a growing trend, according to the programme makers. You got anything to say on that?
Well, only that I thought we'd seen the depths of reality television.
Yes, you'd have
obviously
thought so.
Not.
No, there you go.
Well, thank God for Monty Don. You're up to date. The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.